In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of God.
Hey, thank you, Lauren. That was fantastic. So encouraging. We're going to have more of that all throughout Advent. We're going to hear more and more stories from our people, stories to encourage us, stories that bring a sense of realness to this season, which I think we all know that during this season it's very easy to be caught up into the sentimentality of Christmas, right? And easy for it to feel fake, easy for it to gloss over a lot of the things that we're feeling. And so thank you, Lauren, for doing that. It takes a lot of courage to come up here, but I'm grateful for you doing that. Every Monday, our staff team here at the Summit begins with a little exercise. We call it the question of the day. All right, question of the day. We do this every week. The very first thing we do before the very first meeting, every single week. Some people love it. Some people are learning to love it. But this is what we do. This is how we start our week, as we ask a question of the day. And we all go around and answer the question. We share our thoughts. We kind of share how we feel about the question. Sometimes the question's a little silly. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream? Easy. Sometimes the question's a little bit deeper. Go into maybe, what's your favorite childhood memory? Or what's something you do to cheer yourself up when you feel sad? Okay, it's the question of the day. We ask it every day. Everybody goes around, we all answer it. It's one of the ways that we help just kind of grow our appreciation for one another. A few weeks ago, we had a question of the day. Let me say up front, I was under the impression that this was going to be a very easy, very simple, very straightforward, very non-contentious question, okay? I was very wrong, all right? Very, very wrong, because the question of the day, just a few weeks ago, here's what it was. The question was, if you could travel in time, forwards or backwards, how far would you go? Which direction would you go? Would you go backwards in time? Would you go forwards in time? How far and why? Okay, it seems like a pretty simple question, right? Absolutely not. It's not. Not at all. I think we spent maybe 45 minutes discussing this question that morning. Usually we spend about five. From our staff, here's what you need to know. Only one person that chose to go back in time. That was Ellie. Ellie was the only one that chose to go back in time. The overwhelming response was to go into the future. Not the distant future, the nearish future, far enough to see how everything is currently unfolding or how everything may be currently unfolded in their lives. How are my children doing? How's my family? How is everything looking around here on planet Earth right now? How did my career turn out? How is retirement going? I think ultimately, without even realizing it, there was just this shared desire for all of us to know, how did I do? How did we do? Which, for the record, I did not want to know the answer to that. I was like, I want to go way beyond that into the far future. I don't want to know the answer. But that was the overwhelming desire, overwhelming response. And I think we all resonate with those questions. How did I do? How's my life actually going to unfold? Is everything going to be okay? All perfectly legitimate questions, questions that in one way or another point to the great fears that we all kind of share at this point in our lives, particularly the older we get, the more life that we live, the more loss or grief or challenges that we all walk through. There's something within all of us that wonders, how is everything going to turn out? Is it all going to be okay? Today, we enter into the beginning of a new season, a season called Advent. A season that literally for centuries, followers of Jesus all across the globe have observed as they look forward to both the celebration of the coming of Jesus for the first time, his birth at Christmas, as well as the second coming of Jesus, his return. I realize now, for many of you, like I said a moment ago, Advent might not be something that you grew up practicing. Maybe it feels like a very foreign thing to you, and if that's the case, that's okay. Christmas, I realize Christmas we all kind of have somewhat of a category for, but Advent might feel a little bit less familiar, and if that's the case, glad that you're here and a part of it with us. Here's what I hope happens today. Here's what I hope you grasp over the next several weeks as we move through this season together. I hope you grasp, I hope you recognize that Advent is a season of waiting for God to act. Advent is a season of waiting for God to act. It's a season where we as followers of Jesus, we look into the future with hope. And when I say hope, I'm not using the word hope in the way that we tend to use that word today in kind of our culture. We tend to use the word hope and kind of just mean wishful thinking, right? I hope my boss notices all my hard work. I hope I get the promotion. I hope we get a powder day soon. I hope my life turns out okay. That's not how followers of Jesus have historically used the word hope. When we say hope, we are talking about a certain type of confidence, a certain type of belief rooted in what we know to be true about God and what we believe will happen one day as a result. In other words, when we talk about hope, we're not treating like this like the question of the day where we hope everything turns out okay for each of us in the nearish future. We're talking about a type of hope that says, I have a certain type of confidence about what the future holds. Not because I'm in control of it, not because I dictate it, but because I trust the one who does. His past faithfulness gives me confidence to make it through today and eagerly await the future that he has in store for me. Now, Advent is the season in between. All right, it's the season in between God's past faithfulness and his future provision. Advent is a season of waiting for God to act. And one of the things that makes Advent so great, one of the reasons why I am just so grateful for this season is that because Advent helps each of us make sense of our faith as we move through the hard realities of this world. Like just like Lauren shared a moment ago, all the different hard things that each and every one of us encounters in our lives. This is why Advent is far better, or at least far more robust than just Christmas. If we're not careful, you know what this is like. We get so familiar with the scenes of Christmas, we tend to just kind of sanitize or airbrush the whole thing, right? We put snow in the backgrounds of these pictures, and everything just feels so picturesque. And it just morphs into this giant, commercialized, candy cane, Mariah Carey, blah. Nothing against Mariah Carey. Love Mariah Carey. But that's not the real Christmas, is it? The real Christmas, we all know. I mean, the real Christmas was messy, right? Because life is messy. And Advent is honest about that. Waiting for God to act is hard. Advent helps us understand all the different tensions of the world that we live in. It helps us understand the tension of how God is working, but God's not done working. It helps us understand the tension of the now and not yet. Advent talks about the victory of God, yet the darkness and the sorrow that we all face. It shows us how the natural and the supernatural come together, how the extraordinary and the seemingly insignificant, how both of those collide. And so this season is good. It's needed. We need Advent. And I believe if we're open to it, this can be quite a powerful season in your life. That's really my prayer for us as a church over these next few weeks. I hope you find your faith being stirred in new and fresh ways. I hope you encounter God as you wait for him to act. Wouldn't that be glorious? And so here's what I want to do. I want to tell you just a little bit about what to expect over the next few weeks, and then I'm going to tell you what to expect for the rest of this morning, all right? For the rest of this season, you're going to keep hearing stories like we just did a moment ago from Lauren, and it's going to be great. It's going to be so encouraging, I think, for us. It's going to be a good thing for us to keep hearing from one another. We want that to be a regular thing for us as a church, to be publicly testifying to the Lord's faithfulness, to God's kindness and provision in our lives, right? That should be a normal thing for a church to do. That's what we want. So we're going to be practicing that over the next few weeks. And we're going to have that gift of hearing from people. And we're going to have some unique opportunities for you to respond during our gatherings, for you to participate. And here's what that means. Sermons are going to be a little bit shorter. Everybody okay with that? Thought so. Our response times that we do every week, they're going to be a little bit longer and a little bit more participatory. What do I mean by that? Well, you're just going to have to wait and find out, okay? You're going to find out, and it's going to be great, all right? Now, this morning, here's what I want to do. If you still have your Bible in front of you, we're going to look at the story of Mary. Mary, this is such a wonderful story to kick off Advent. I want to show you just three things very quickly as we move through this text, and then we come to our time of response, all right? Verse 26, I'm going to read the passage again. You can follow along with me. Look at what he says in verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him to the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" Verse 34, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?'" In other words, Mary's wondering, how will this happen, Gabriel? How exactly is this going to work? And how exactly do you think this is going to go over with? I don't know, Joseph, my family, the synagogue, this entire culture. How? Great question. That's a great question we can all resonate with, right? God has promised you certain things. God has put certain dreams in your hearts, has given you certain passions. God, you have called me to this. How will this actually become a reality? How is this going to happen? How is this going to unfold in my life? Verse 35, "And the angel answered her." It's like, "Don't worry, Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Which, at that point, I like to imagine Mary just saying, okay, okay. But this is amazing. What does the angel tell her? He says, "The very Spirit of God, the power of God will rest on you. He will come so close to you, Mary, that it's going to be like, it's hard to tell where you stop and where God begins, because the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Can you imagine that? You are almost indistinguishable from God's activity and God's presence in your life because he is overshadowing you. It's the very thing that Jesus would later tell his disciples, actually, right before sending them out to carry out his mission to the entire world. Acts chapter 1, right? "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." It's the very thing he tells each of us. We saw all throughout 1 John, right? The last several weeks as we walked through 1 John, if you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit resides within you. You've got the power of God within you. This is exactly how God answers our how questions. God, how is this going to happen? How is this going to become a reality? You know how he answers it? He says, "We're going to do it together. We're going to do it together. My Spirit, my power is within you." You know what that means? This is amazing. If you're a follower of Jesus, from this point on, every trial you walk through, every hardship, every challenge, every problem you face, if God is living within you, it means you can now look at every one of these problems and say with confidence, "God, we have a problem. We have a problem." Your transmission goes out right before Christmas. "God, we have a problem." Broken heart during the holidays. "God, we've got a problem. My heart is hurting right now. What are you going to do about that?" Some of you right now, I know you are caught in the middle of this tension. I feel like I've had this conversation so many times over the last several weeks. So many of you who desperately desire to be rooted here in Denver, to plant your lives here, to be a part of this church, just to grow within this community, and you're like, "Denver is stupid expensive right now. How can I even afford to put down roots?" God, we've got a problem. You see, he's saying, hey, everything that you walk through, every single trial, every hardship, every challenge, every problem, we do it together. We do it together. In fact, I mean, that's the entire story of the scriptures, right? Like all from the very beginning of the Bible, every single episode, every single story almost, what happens? God calls certain men and women to impossible tasks. And he says, hey, I want you to step forward and do this. And they're like, I don't know, God. That seems a little risky. I've got some problems with that. I've got some questions. I'm not sure how this might work. And he's like, I know. That's why we're going to do it together. It's beautiful, isn't it? That's the hope that we have. And this is the way God chose to enter into the world. It's glorious. A young woman full of fear. It looked from the outside scandalous, inappropriate, not a good look. And it's almost like Gabriel is oblivious to all of that. Like, you know, I don't feel like I've ever caught this before in this passage. I love how enthusiastic Gabriel is in this story. You know, it's like he just delivered some pretty big news, yet he is like overwhelmingly excited about it. He's like, Mary, don't worry. This is going to be great. It's going to be so good. You have found favor with God. You're going to have a baby. He's going to be great. He's going to reign. His kingdom's going to be limitless. We're given this picture, God's enthusiasm overshadowing our fear. God's enthusiasm overshadowing our fear. Can you imagine just like if you walked in that, if that was true of your own reality, even this very week, this Advent season, if God's enthusiasm for what he's going to do in your life overshadowed your fear about your future. I mean, just think about, like, God is so excited about what's going to unfold in your life. God is so excited about what's going to unfold in 2023 for you. That's extraordinary, isn't it? And then to top it off, just in case there wasn't enough encouragement from Gabriel, this is what he says to Mary. Mary, who has some legitimate questions, right? Like, how, God? How's it going to happen? A very perfectly legitimate question. And then verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. It's almost like for Gabriel, it's just like, duh. Like, you realize that, right? Like, nothing is impossible with God. He can do whatever he wants. He can do anything, nothing. I mean, just imagine for a moment. I want you to take a second and consider. What do you think your life would look like if you really believed that? That absolutely nothing is impossible with God. I mean, can you imagine what this week, what this Advent season, even as you go into this coming year, if you genuinely, truly believe absolutely nothing is impossible with God? Church, that is the season that we are stepping into. That is what God is trying to well up within each of us. This belief that nothing is impossible for him. And so every hardship that we face, and we want to be honest about the hardship, okay? We're not dismissive of those things. We don't pretend like they don't exist. We don't pretend like that for some of us, this season can be excruciatingly difficult. That we feel the pain, that we feel the loss, that we walk through a tremendous amount of grief during this time. We're not dismissive of that. God's not dismissive of that. But the beauty of Advent is that we step into this season with a certain hope, a confidence that's rooted in God's past faithfulness, in all the ways that he has shown up, and all the ways that he has proved himself faithful to us in the past. That past faithfulness gives rise to a confidence about his future provision. That we can be a people of hope, that we can be an expectant people, that we can know, hey, God has been faithful, he is being faithful, he will be faithful. We can trust him. We can trust him with every single thing. We can trust him with every question that's on our hearts right now, every fear that we face, every what if. As we think about this year coming to an end, as we think about all of the stresses, we can turn to him and say, hey, you know what? I really want to believe. I really want to believe. Nothing is impossible for you, God. Absolutely nothing. Advent is a season of waiting for God to act. Advent is the season in between God's past faithfulness and his future provision. And so for some of us today, that means learning the hard discipline of waiting. Okay? Some of us are in a season of waiting. We're learning to patiently wait on God, learning how to trust him with everything. But here's the thing, for some of you, I'll be honest, I can't help but feel for some of you here this morning, I think God is ready to act. He's ready to act in your life. He's just waiting for you to get on board. He's ready for you to step up. Say, God, whatever you want to do, I'm open to doing it. I think in many ways, my prayer for this Advent season, so often during this time of the year, this is the time of the year where a lot of us want to put it on autopilot, right? We just want to coast. I just want to rest. I'm tired. It's been a long year. I'm going to check out. I want to be unengaged. What if the rest that the Lord wanted to give you this Advent season doesn't mean you unengaging and checking out? What if this season, God actually wants to prime your heart for doing even more this coming year? What if this is a season that God actually wants you to check in, to step up, so that he could do abundantly more? I think for some of you, that's where God is at right now. He's ready to act. And so here's what we're gonna do. To have that type of confidence, to have the type of confidence that God is who he says he is, that he is going to act on our behalf. I believe ultimately we have to first start by looking back. Okay, we have to look back. We have to look back on the faithfulness of God. We look back on his provision. We look back on the many, many ways that he has shown up and proven himself as the kind, loving Father, Savior, King that he is. Again, it's his past faithfulness that gives us the confidence for future provision. And so here's what we're going to do this morning. As we begin to transition to our time of response, two things we're actually going to do this morning to help you experience the Advent season the way it's intended to be experienced. First, we want to help you look back. We want to help you remember. And so in each of your seat backs, you'll see those little cards look just like this. It says hope on there. Okay? Why don't you pull those out? You'll see that little card, and here's what we want to do. We want to provide a little bit of space and time for you right here, right now. Not later, but now. We want to give you an opportunity to reflect on this past year and remember where God has shown up in your life personally. There's a few different prompts on there. It says, when you look back on 2022, what do you want to remember? What's something you just don't want to forget? What's something you don't want it to slip away, but say, oh man, this happened in 2022 and I don't want to ever forget that. Where did God show up? How did he provide? So we're going to give you some time to think about that. Maybe 6, 7, 8 minutes just to reflect. This time is for you. I want to pray for you as we start this. I want to pray that the Lord will actually recall to mind some of the different faithful acts that he has shown you during this past year. I know it's so easy to forget. So we're going to ask God to actually be present here right now, helping us remember. And then we're going to give you some time to reflect on that, okay? God, oh, we thank you for this Advent season. We love the Advent season because we love you. And you show yourself during this time. You come close. Father, we ask right now that we would not be distracted. But God, you would focus our hearts and focus our minds to remember your faithfulness towards us. Bring to mind, God, some of the different ways that you provided for us. Bring to mind some of the different ways that you showed up. Help us to celebrate those right now. I hope that was an encouragement to you. Some of you might need more time. Some of you might want to keep just sitting there and thinking. And maybe this afternoon even, just spending more time reflecting, spending time with God and saying, hey, what are some of the things that I don't want to forget this year? I maybe even encourage you to take that card with you when you go home, and maybe even just put it somewhere that you'll be able to be reminded throughout this Advent season of God's faithfulness. Put it in your Bible, put it on a bathroom mirror, put it somewhere that you'll just be able to see it and reminded of how God has shown up this past year. Now there's a second thing we're going to do today and a second way to respond. And I'm going to tell you up front, this one's going to take a little bit of courage. All right. It's going to take a little bit of courage. This might feel a little bit awkward for some of us, but I'm willing to take that risk because I think it's going to be worth it. I think this has the potential to be deeply encouraging for us as a church. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to pray together right now. And if you're feeling courageous, I'm going to invite you to pray out loud, right where you're sitting, one at a time. We're not going to pass around a microphone, but there's not going to be a plan. We're just going to encourage you during this time to publicly testify to God's faithfulness, to publicly voice your prayer to God, to come before him and come before your church family right now and voice our prayers to God as a family. I mean, this is what churches ought to do, right? We're going to pray. And so if you want to say something to God, if you want to give thanks for something, if you just want to even celebrate God's faithfulness in your own life, this is a time for you to do that. And however the Spirit's going to lead you, however the Spirit's going to lead us, we're going to pray that this is a time that we can encourage one another as we vocalize our prayers to God, okay? I'll do it first. I'll start us off. And then if you feel like the Spirit of God is telling you to pray, pray. It doesn't have to be long. Maybe do it loud enough so everybody else can hear it. But as the Spirit leads us, let's be a people who pray. Right? Let's be a family who prays, who lets God know that we want him here, that his presence is welcomed here, that we want him here during this Advent season. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.